Okay, welcome back. And we're going to switch gears this hour. We have 3 hours a night, three different topics, and we try to always make them interesting for you. Hopefully you'll learn, like I learn something every time, every program. Here's Mitchell Henderson back with us tonight to give us an update. One of the biggest fears, of course, and what we have been projecting, all of us who care about the war in the Middle East, is that it's going to escalate. It's going to get bigger. And there are no indicators that I've seen yet that would suggest things are in any way reformatting to retreat from the doorstep of a massive, major Middle East war. I see no reason to think that that's going to happen. I would tell you if I did, and that's just my opinion. You all have your own. But let's find out what Mitchell has to say about all that escalation tonight. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back.
Hello.
Yes,
so what I want to do is I want to talk about first off, why Israel has been avoiding escalation. Okay. So.
Oh, this will be fun
because
I think I know where you're going. This is going to be interesting. I have my own opinions. You're the military pro. I was not in the military, but I can read and I can see, and I'm looking forward to this. So by all means, let's hear it. Good.
Okay, so Israel's intentions in this war are the ethnic cleansing of all Arabs from Eretz Israel. Okay, so if you want to know what the way things are going, just look at the policy, look at the goal, the end goal, because the military goals are to fulfill the political goals, and that's the political goal, is to cleanse all Arabs from Eretz Israel. First, they intend to cleanse the Gaza Strip of its 2 million Arabs. Second is to cleanse the West Bank of its 3 million Arabs. There are already 770,000 Jews illegally living in the West Bank. Third is the cleansing of Israel proper of the 2 million Arabs that live there now. They would like to accomplish this without going to war with any of their neighbors. They are slow walking this phase precisely to avoid having to fight any neighbors. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, a Jew, is running interference for Israel, trying to keep the war from escalating out of Israel's control. He was in the Middle East this past weekend to support the ethnic cleansing and genocide of thousands of non-combatant women and children. That was his mission. So this is the reason why Israel has not invaded Lebanon. The invasion of Lebanon would invite active participation of the Shia Arab Alliance directly into the war. That includes Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. Also, under international law, Israel has no legal right to defend themselves against an occupied people, which has turned most of the world against them.
I know. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me say something here to underscore that.
Okay.
Israel talks about a right to defend itself. Israel is an invading, occupying army. The argument about defending itself is completely absurd. On its face. Forget that. Now, number two, and I would like to add on, I think I can make an addition here to what Mitch is saying. One of the reasons Israel is beginning to show signs of backing down in Gaza a little bit, they pulled out, I don't know, several battalions and things. I think, and you're the pro, I think Israel's getting its ass kicked in Gaza in many ways. I think they've lost at least a couple of thousand dead, maybe three, four. They're lying. They always lie. Every word out of the Israeli government's a lie. You know that, just like this one. I think they're getting their clocks cleaned in many cases in Gaza. Those men, those fighters, the Palestinians, are willing to martyr themselves. I can guarantee you that the Jewish soldiers do not share that same philosophy. They want to go back to their TikTok and whatever else they're doing. So they don't have the same defensive ferocity that those Palestinians do. And I've never seen more bravery in some of those videos of them walking up to an Israeli tank, sneaking up to it, planting an explosive device on it, then running away and detonating it. Man, that's kind of like Hollywood stuff. Crazy. I think the Israelis are not doing well on the ground. They can stand by all night. and bomb the hell out of Gaza with American planes and American weapons and munitions and slaughter people. But when it comes to really fighting on the ground, it's a different ballgame. And I think they're realizing that they're going to lose if they go against Hezbollah. In fact, today an American military source said that Hezbollah will defeat Israel if there's a war between the two of them. That's the story we're running, I believe. I think I put it up. So these are not good days for the Israeli military, other than dropping bombs on people. They can do that all day. We'll allow it. We'll supply them. We gave them the planes. We gave them the bombs, the training, etc. So it's really a disgusting situation. But on the ground, we know that the last time there was a war in southern Lebanon, the Israeli military got its clock cleaned. It was defeated and went home in shame. You remember that. Many of you do. Go ahead,
Well,
Mitch.
Listen to this, too. Just over New Year's Eve, Hezbollah in northern Gaza unleashed a rocket salvo on Israel. If the IDF had control of it, how were they able to do that?
Exactly.
You know, it's Balaam is what you hear, right. Not just from Israel, but from our government also.
Oh, yeah.
So technically, Israel would have a right to invade Lebanon because they are receiving fire from there, and that does give them a right to self-defense because it's another country. Iran is waiting for it to become crystal clear that Israel intends to clear all Arabs out of Gaza. Iran wants to go in this with as much moral force as possible. The world has to know that Israel is evil and bad, okay? The United States is reluctant to do any real air attacks in Syria, Iraq, or Yemen because it could invite Iran and its Shia allies into open war with Israel. That's why our responses have been so tepid, okay? When Biden authorized the murder by bombs of Mushtaq Taheb al-Sayedi this past week, this is in Baghdad, killing an official of the Iraqi government. You see, the popular mobilization forces in Iraq are an Iraqi state-sponsored umbrella organization. Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani said, quote, the popular mobilization forces represent an official presence affiliated with the state, subject to it an integral part of our armed forces. The Prime Minister is going to push for the withdrawal of all American forces from Iraq. Imagine a Canadian general stationed at Cheyenne Mountain sending a Canadian aircraft to kill an American general at Peterson Air Force Base. It is legally the same thing. Our woke Marxist government is beyond arrogant. They are absolutely lawless. We would have to pull our troops out of Syria also. Think of the double standards and arrogance of our position. We condemn Russia's illegal occupation of Ukraine, but somehow it's okay if we occupy all of Syria east of the Euphrates River against the will of the Syrian government. We still have troops in Iraq against the very obvious will of the Iraqi people. Also, the double standard of supporting the illegal Israeli occupation of Gaza Strip and the West Bank. American arrogance grates on the people of the Middle East. It is a tinderbox of hatred against America just waiting to explode. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have a peace going on at the moment with Yemen, and American bombing of the Houthis could throw Yemen back into a war with Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. This could be a disaster because Yemen could swarm Arabian and Emirati oil fields with missiles and shut down much of the world's energy supplies. The disgusting pedophile Joe Biden does not want this to happen while he is running for president because it will make it more difficult to justify him winning in a rigged election when gas prices go sky high. So the reason they're acting like, well, Israel has to take it easy is really got to do with that. Okay, that it's all politics. So human lives pissed away for political gain. You know,
we are. Well, you want to talk about that a little more? Let's take a quick look to Ukraine. At the over half a million men and women annihilated, sacrificed in an enormous Zionist blood sacrifice called war in
to
Ukraine.
To make the pedophile Biden look good, yes.
Right, right.
So we are in this position because the United States lacks vision and foresight. Iran thought long and hard. A year after the Islamic Republic of Iran was founded in 1979, thanks to the ineptitude and weakness of President Jimmy Carter, Iraq went to war with Iran with America's blessing and material support. Iraq at this time had the largest and most modern army in the Middle East. Iran had to fight modern conventional war against Iraq, including the use of chemical weapons. From 1980 to the present, the Iranian Navy has fought the U.S. Navy in a low-intensity war in the Persian Gulf and Arabian Sea. Their number one enemy from day one has been Israel. So for 45 years, the Iranians have been laser-focused on defeating Israel in a modern war. Not only did they develop a large arsenal of missiles to include short, medium, and long range, but also developed a hypersonic capability and the foundations of nuclear warhead production. They can assemble a uranium bomb in just 3 days. On October 7th, they had enough fissile material for 2 or 3 warheads. Now they have enough for 10. This is why Iran is okay waiting for a while before hostilities break out. This, the more time, the more nukes to fire towards Israel. Iran has a decent air defense missile system. It has developed a range of anti-ship missiles for its navy, including numerous shore-to-ship missiles that can strike any ships in the Persian Gulf. Iran has developed its drone capabilities to the point that the United States is not assured of the ability to gain air superiority in the region. The U.S. Air Force says this themselves. Okay, this is not some secret. They've publicly said that. Iran has had great foresight in developing allies in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen. Yemen has already shut down the Red Sea to transportation. If they go back to war with Saudi Arabia and the UAE, they will shut down world oil production, the Persian Gulf, and the Arabian Sea. Hezbollah has over 40,000 missiles that can swarm over Israel. You can produce many more short-range missiles than for the price of a long-range missile, okay? Instead of firing missiles all the way from Iran, they are positioned right next door in Lebanon. This was foresight. There is a land attack route now from Iran all the way to Syria, thanks to their lack of vision of the United States. Thanks to the lack of vision of the United States neocons, who insisted on removing Saddam Hussein from power, the only nation that was containing Iran and holding them in check. You can see from this just how ugly a broad war in the Middle East could become. But it gets worse. What's Israel's goal for Lebanon and Syria? In Lebanon, the next major phase of Israel's war on humanity will be the invasion of Lebanon. They intend to ethnically cleanse southern Lebanon of all Sunni and Shia Muslims and Christians. Then they will turn this over to their allies, the Druze. Muslims do not consider the Druze to be Muslim and regard the Druze as an apostate religion. In other words, Muslims have to kill them. Muslims and Druze will always be enemies, more so than with the Jews. Israel intends to resettle their own Druze population there and create a buffer state. Most Druze in Lebanon already live in the southern half of the country. This will consist of all Lebanon south of Babda province in the west and south of western Baka district and the Rashaya district in the east. In other words, draw a line south of Beirut straight across Lebanon, and that's basically what they want to take. Okay. Of course, Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Yemen would oppose this. They want Lebanon to stay intact as the United Nations Charter dictates. But Israel does not respect any laws, and neither does the United States. The U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency said today that Israel cannot beat Hezbollah. In my life, I have seen intelligence products from both the Central Intelligence Agency and the Defense Intelligence Agency. The DIA reports have always been superior to the CIA reports for a reason. Lies and inaccuracy in combat gets people killed. Consequently, it was precisely because the CIA was a political organization that the Department of Defense could not rely on the CIA to gather credible intelligence that the DEA was formed in 1962 after the dismal failure of the CIA in the Bay of Pigs invasion in Cuba in 1961. The CIA simply was not a reliable organization. Okay. And like I said, I've seen the products of the, but the GIA is not, is, it tries to tell the truth because people's lives depend upon it. Okay. So the report about Hezbollah was a DIA assessment, which makes it a better assessment. Okay. So let's go on to Syria.
Mm-hmm. Now, Syria, for our listeners who don't know, and a lot of them don't, it's not their fault, they just haven't paid attention, whatever, they've missed it. The American military went into Syria illegally. It was not invited in there, and it literally captured perhaps the biggest and most productive of all Syria's oil fields and has been stealing as much Syrian oil as it can possibly pump out of that oil field for several years now. We're in there elite. We are international outlaw bandits and worse. So now we're being attacked in Syrian oil fields that we are controlling and we refuse to relinquish. Go ahead.
So Syria is the most complex hotspot. Troops from Russia, the United States, Turkey, Iran, and Hezbollah are already stationed there. Syria has invited the military presence of Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah. American and Turkish troops are there illegally and contrary to the United Nations. There is no international approval of American nor Turkish troops in Syria. Syria's allies are the Russians, the Iranians, and Hezbollah. As Israel's allies in Syria are the Jews in the south, the Kurds and Americans in the north. The Turks along the border are allied with al-Qaeda. The goal of Israel is to take eastern Quneitra province, Daraa province, and al-Suwaida province in south Syria and connect it to the Druze state they want to set up in Lebanon. This part of Syria is where most of the Druze already live. Quneitra province includes the Golan Heights, which is 25,000 Jews and 25,000 Jews. They want the Jews in the Golan Heights to move to eastern Quneitra province. This would establish a Druze buffer state between Lebanon and Syria, well, between Israel and, well, a buffer state between Israel and Lebanon and Syria that is at least 50 miles wide. This state would be called Jabal al-Druze State. Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Russia, and Turkey are all formally opposed to this. Israel and the Kurds have long been allies because the Kurds are Marxist, and the Kurds do not have their own state, although they are very distinct people. The Kurds are Muslim, but they are not Arab. They are a Persian people like the people in Iran. The Kurds live along the borderlands of South Turkey, northern Syria and Iraq, and northwestern Iran. The Kurds want their own nation, but Turkey, Iran, Syria, and Iraq do not want to give it to them. Israel wants to give it to them, and the United States will support Israel in their endeavor, although not officially condoning it. The Kurds, as a first step, want to unite Syrian and Iraqi Kurdistan. Later, they would want to take Turkish and Iranian Kurdistan. The United States has troops on the ground in northern Syria and Iraq to protect the Kurds. This is why the United States is there. We're not there because of ISIS. That's bullshit. Okay. Turkey controls Kurdish areas along the southern borders. Turkey invades Iraqi Kurdistan at will to attack Kurdish militias. Turkey wants to establish a new Ottoman Empire. Ideally, they want to control the neighboring Kurdish areas so they can have peace. Iran has a large Kurdish population. They want to keep it. Turkey and Iran are against the formation of an independent Kurdish homeland, but they want to absorb the Iraqi and Syrian Kurds. What Iran and Turkey would like to do is absorb the Kurdish provinces of Syria and Iraq. Turkey wants to absorb northern Halab province and Hasaka province of Syria and Duhok, Nineveh, and Erbil provinces of Iraq. This also gives Turkey about a 25-mile buffer province between the Turks and the Arabs. Iran would like to absorb Sulaymaniyah, Diyala, Kirkuk, and Saladin provinces of Iraq. The United States, Israel, Russia, Syria, Iraq, and the Sunni Arab nations would be against Turkey and Iran in this endeavor. so you see what a mess this is, okay?
Oh, yeah.
These are general policies of these nations, but how the war unfolds depends on the sequence of events. When Israel invades Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and Iran will get involved. Israel has 18 combat brigades. Lebanon has 11 combat brigades. Syria has 63 combat brigades. Iraq has 57 combat brigades. And Iran has 60 combat brigades of high quality. Okay.
Let's talk about quality for just a minute, Mitch. Hold on. The quality of a brigade of IDF soldiers has to be garbage compared to the quality of most Arab nations who are serious about military and training. I'm just not impressed at all with Israel's military. I mean, they can drop bombs all day, but when it comes to ground warfare, I don't see it. I just don't see it.
Well, they once were good, but they're not good anymore. But the problem is the Arab armies are actually worse. Okay, I've trained with the Arab armies, and I just don't know. They just don't seem
to have
their heart in it.
Most unfortunate to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So
I believe you.
But now Iran's army, they're not Arabs. They're Iranians, and they're tough fighters.
Okay? Persians, you bet.
Iran has a high quality. Their 60 combat brigades are high quality. Now keep in mind, those are 60 combat brigades to use overseas. At home, they have 31 combat brigades in the Iranian, guards force and stuff.
Republican Guards.
It's a separate army, Republican Guards. And they're the ones who control missiles and stuff like that. So when Israel invades Syria, Turkey and Russia will also get involved. Syria has 63 combat brigades. The United States has about a half a combat brigade on the ground in Syria. A couple more can get there somewhat quickly. Turkey has 47 combat brigades of very high quality.
How many men in a brigade,
please?
Mitch, how many men in a brigade?
About 4,000, roughly 4,000, including all the support people, supply, logistics, stuff like that.
So 60 brigades would be, 240,000 troops, right?
It's quite a bit. These are just the combat brigades. This is not the size of their army. It's just combat brigades. That would be armor brigades. That would be mechanized infantry brigades. That would be commando brigades, and that would be infantry brigades. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so their commando brigades are equivalent to like our Rangers. Okay. They're just highly trained light infantrymen.
Okay.
So Turkey has 70 combat brigades of very high quality. Okay, so Syria already has a military treaty with Russia. Syria has hinted that it would allow Turkish troops to move across its territory to attack Israel. If Israel gets desperate and wants to go nuclear, Russia will be able to deter that. Russia is not going to allow Israel to nuke Syria. That just plain and simple, it's not going to happen. They've already shown that they could do that in 1973. They threatened to nuke Syria, and if they nuke Syria, they're going to have to nuke the United States at the same time in NATO. Okay,
right.
The United States will not be able to stage troops in Iraq or Turkey in this circumstance. If it looks like the Shia alliance is losing, Iran may go nuclear. Okay, so there's lots of possibilities here. As you can see, this war will be like playing chess. It will spiral out of control in many ways. There will come a point when the Sunni nations must get involved. This is because the leaders of the Sunni world will come under immense pressure from their people as it begins to look like Israel is exterminating the Palestinian people. The three levels of this war will be Shia, Arab Sunnis, and then all Sunnis. The Shia are in the war now, but not fully committed. When Israel invades Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen will become fully committed against Israel. As Israel ventures into Syria, Turkey will be committed against Israel. Russia will be committed against Israel. The United States will have to enter the war on the side of Israel. American children will be drafted to go fight for the Zionist Antichrist. Half of those will be female soldiers.
And where are they going to get tank rounds and artillery rounds? We're 5 years behind now, getting caught up to where we should be because we've spent it all in Ukraine. So where are we going to get the munitions to fuel any kind of a...
Exactly. So what's going to happen to our troops? They're going to get slaughtered, okay? So as this war spirals out of control with consequences to the world economy, pressure will be put upon the Sunni Arab leaders to respond. Imagine a mini rocket striking the oil fields of Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. Imagine Shia rockets striking U.S. military bases in Kuwait, Bahrain, and Qatar. Imagine Shia anti-ship missiles striking U.S. naval ships in the Arabian Sea, the Red Sea, and the Persian Gulf. Imagine American troops being overrun and slaughtered in Syria and Iraq. Will the Sunni Arab people want to risk their wealth, their lives, and their souls for Israel and the sodomite United States? Do they want to die for gay rights, abortion, and Israel? Do they want to stand with Dajjal, the Antichrist? This will be in their face, and the choice will be stark. Arab leaders can lose control by standing with Satan or keep control by standing with Allah. Kuwait, Bahrain, and Qatar will tell Americans to get out. Why should they suffer for Israel? Siding with America is siding with Israel. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates are going to know that without oil wealth, they will lose control of their people. They must declare for Palestine or lose their kingdoms. Israel and the United States will become isolated in the Middle East and in the world. Our closest ally in the world is the United Kingdom. Out of 67 million people, 4 million are Muslim and 34 million are atheists. That means that 57% of the people have no theological ties towards Israel. Only 28% of the people in the United Kingdom are favorably disposed towards Israel. The European Union has 44 million Muslims. The United States cannot depend on its NATO allies to support us in a war with Israel. And we did it to ourselves.
People. Oh, yeah.
We did it to ourselves. Even in the United States, there are large anti-Israel protests. Even American Jews are protesting Israel's war crimes. The point is that the Zionist government of America does not even have much support at home. As the war intensifies, polarization of the world will inevitably take place. Non-Arab Muslims will demand getting involved. Already, these countries, there are boycotts of pro-Israel companies such as McDonald's and Starbucks. The citizens completely boycott these companies religiously. Afghanistan, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Malaysia, Indonesia, as well as Kosovo, Albania, and Bosnia will send volunteers, then armies, to fight the global jihad against the Israeli Dajjal. Remember, the Dajjal is the Muslim concept of the Antichrist, okay? And in India, the Muslim population will protest India's pro-Israel loyalties. There are 204 million Muslims in India. India could become very destabilized. Pakistan could take advantage of this. A nuclear war could break out between Pakistan and India. The United States has been escalating its military maneuvers drastically under the pedophile Biden. North Korea keeps warning us that if we keep it up, it will lead to a nuclear war. But we just push them further. We're like a bully, you know. If the United States gets dragged into the vortex of an Israel war, Kim may see it as his time to end the problem of U.S., Japan, and South Korea once and for all. Chairman Xi of China said that China will take back Taiwan. It is the same thing. The escalating war in West Asia will present the perfect opportunity for him to take Taiwan back, and he could do it with a blockade, and this will avoid the cost of rebuilding. Okay, so they will take advantage of this as soon as we get deeply into this. We cannot fight in the Middle East, possibly, and fight in Asia at the same time. We can't do it.
I agree.
Russia is biding its time. Russia, by biding its time, can take advantage of a distracted world. As the Ukrainian army loses its logistical support and it fails to pay its soldiers, their army will become fatally weak. Russia can take advantage of the world anarchy to take all of the territory in Ukraine east of the Dnieper River, push to retake the rest of Kherson Kherson province, west of the Dnieper, take Nikolaev and Odessa provinces, and link up with Transnistria to consolidate all Russian lands and solve their problems. Europe will want to back off in order to save themselves. Europe will discover that they need Russia more than they need the United States when oil shipments from the Middle East and North Africa cease. The tide will have turned, and now the world is sanctioning Europe. It will get very cold, and the Europeans will be starving. Finally, Serbia will be able to take Kosovo back because of our weakness and distraction. Wars will break out everywhere as nations settle scores with their neighbors. Satan will experience an orgasm of violence and death. It will be his world for a time, okay? But I want people to keep in mind, we got 8 billion people in this world, okay? The only reason that we can sustain 8 billion people is because there's some semblance of peace, because the oil keeps flowing, okay? When all this is disrupted, those people are going to be starting to starve. There'll be disease. They're going to get violent. It's going to be a mess everywhere, including here in America.
Okay? That's right. Agreed.
We're not going to escape this.
No. No, and here's Biden talking. I don't understand how people can even tolerate to hear this. He's talking about giving full American citizenship to over 10 million invaders who he has allowed to come across the border in his 3 years in office. Citizenship. Where's the outrage? I'm not seeing it. I can't even believe responding.
What about this? If you're an illegal alien that came across the border today, you've never paid a penny in taxes in the state of California, the United States of America, but Gavin Newsom has just given them all comprehensive health care. Okay.
Oh, that was a couple weeks ago. For life. They never have a problem.
Security guard in California. You're a regular American-born security guard. You cannot get this free health care. You cannot get it. But these illegals coming across the border, they can get it immediately.
I know. So, it's unbelievable. And American citizens are being flushed down the drain. No one seems to be standing up to this outrageous, treasonous behavior. They're just noting it, if they even do that, and then going right along their merry way. Not so merry anymore. This is really incredible to me. I just don't believe it. I can't believe what I'm seeing. It's beyond science fiction.
Well, it's only going to get worse. Next year there'll be more coming. Even with a Republican deal on the border, that's going to just bring more people, not less. Trust me. This is all set in stone. We're adrift, heading towards Armageddon is what's going on. We're just going there. There's nothing that's going to stop. There's nobody that's going to change it. Okay. There's nothing that can be done. Okay. So people need to start thinking about themselves. You've lost your country. You've lost your freedom. Start thinking about how you're going to get through this, okay? So let me just, while we're talking about government lies and stuff, let me talk about U.S. State Department lies and deceit. Last week, Jewish Secretary of State Anthony Blinken was giving a press conference on Ukraine and said that we cannot allow Russia to get away with the bombing of civilians, hospitals, schools, and churches. He said this would set a bad precedent for the world. Notice in your newspapers and on the evening news that these attacks by Russia kill as many as 4 or 16 civilians at a time. Meanwhile, in Gaza Strip, the Israeli army bombs civilian houses, hospitals, schools, mosques, and churches. They regularly attack ambulances. Israel attacks in Gaza kill an average of 244 Palestinian civilians per day, an average of 162 women and children per day. But this is not a problem for the Jewish Antichrist pedophile Biden regime. It is perfectly okay if Jews commit war crimes with impunity. In this American rules-based order, there are no rules. Every non-Western nation in the world knows this. Only we are fooled.
Yes.
What if you massacred Christians like this? This past weekend in Nigeria, Muslim extremists of Boko Haram wiped out several Christian villages, murdering 140 Christian men, women, and children. What does the Jewish Blank and State Department say about this? Officially, this is their official statements. Officially, they say that the ethnic cleansing of Christians by Muslims is due to climate change. How so, you may wonder? Well, you see, climate change is caused by racism because white privilege requires too much oil for white people's comfort. Also, because God is racist, according to an article in last summer's Scientific American magazine. So it is white people and God's fault that these people were murdered, because both Christians and Muslims follow a racist God. Can you follow that logic? Back to Rabbi Schneerson, Muslims, Christians, and white people have to be exterminated for the Messiah to come. You see, his Messiah is not the racist God. He is a man who will be heralded as God, okay? So just look at the logic of this, okay? The inconsistency of logic, I should say, or the illogic, okay?
Well, if I might, I would urge all of you to look up Rabbi Schneerson, okay? The Lubavitcher King, the founder of the Lubavitch movement, and read about Rabbi Schneerson and his comments about non-Jews. You want to read hate? It's right there. Go ahead.
So let me just gloss over some Department of Justice lies, okay, to see if we can follow the logic here. The Department of Justice calls the rather mild riot of January 6, 2021 by white people, who killed no one and who burned nothing down, an insurrection. They claimed it was worse than the attack on Pearl Harbor, which killed 2,403 people, or 9/11, which killed 2,496 people. On January 6, only one person died, an American Air Force veteran named Ashley Babbitt, shot by a black police lieutenant, okay, when she was unarmed. Okay, so it is specifically called the January 6th insurrection. Okay, so can you see this as being worse than Pearl Harbor, worse than 9/11, which killed at least 2,000 people apiece, when nobody was killed there? How is it worse? In what way is it worse? Okay, so insurrection is a crime under Title 18 U.S. Code Section 2383. It specifically calls for a penalty of up to 10 years in prison and prohibits you from ever holding any public office in the United States. Mm-hmm. However, you must be convicted in a court of law before you can get 10 years in jail or be prohibited from holding public office. That's the law, the rules-based order, okay? Donald Trump has not even been indicted for this crime, nor has he been tried or convicted. However, Colorado Jewish female Secretary of State Jenna Griswold barred Trump from being on the primary ballot because she accuses him of insurrection. It's not been proven that he did it. She accuses him. So did Maine woke female Secretary of State Shenna Bellows did the same thing. I'm seeing a pattern here. My governor, yes, Michelle Lujan Grisham, banned anybody, even concealed carry permit holders, from carrying a firearm in Bernalillo County as a public health order. That is clearly against the Second Amendment and against state law. It has also prohibited people from having a gun in their car, which is perfectly legal in New Mexico. She was not impeached. Another federal law makes it a crime for someone acting under the color of law to willfully deprive a person of a right or a privilege protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. It is not necessary that the offense be motivated by racial bias or any other animus. All they have to do is deprive you of it. This is Title 18 U.S. Code, Section 242. Has the Justice Department charged any of these women for violating this law? Maybe it is why women commit these crimes, because they are more equal than men. Furthermore, get this, not a single rioter was charged under Title 18 U.S. Code Section 2383, insurrection. And there has not been a single conviction of anybody for insurrection. Not one person in this thing that they've convinced everybody is the worst insurrection in American history, right? But yet nobody has been able to be proven. They've not been able to prove that anybody has been guilty of that. Okay,
it's one of the most disgraceful things in our history, or in the modern history of all nations. What's going on here? It makes beyond a mockery of legality and justice. It's a joke. It's awful. It's hideous what's going on. And Trump will not, why will they not hold him accountable? It's his fault. He invited them all there, and then he refused to blanket pardon them when they were set up. I just don't get it. How can they forgive this guy for that? I don't understand it. It's on him. All of
because
it.
Because there's too many people that think that the system still works. Too many people believe that we still live in a democracy. Too many people still believe that we have free and fair elections. Too many people believe that our justice system is honest and fair and balanced. Too many people believe these things, and they are not true. We have none of these things, okay? So, the most serious charge to be leveled and gain a conviction was for violation of Title 18 U.S. Code, Section 2384, seditious conspiracy. Sedition is not an insurrection. It is a sedition. They are charging under Title 2384 because it is easier to prove since it's just a conspiracy, not a completed act. And it carries double the penalty of 20 years in prison. However, there is no bar to holding public office if you do that. Okay. So, I don't know. They're just, there's no law in this country. We're all expected to obey the law, but what is the law? The government does not obey the law at all. Let me go a little bit further, okay? Because this is what our beloved Republican conservative justices on the Supreme Court pushed. So if you get stopped by the police and you start talking to the police, right? And they're talking to you, and then it comes to a point where it looks like you might be in trouble, and you say, okay, I'm not going to talk anymore. Can that be used against you in a court of law? Can that
you're
be used
me?
To prove that you're guilty of doing something?
Of course.
The fact that you quit talking to the police.
Yep. It's so perverted and corrupted now. It's really almost unrecognizable.
I mean, you used to have the right to remain silent. That's the Fifth Amendment, the right to remain silent.
That's correct.
And the way
that's
they have
Miranda
interpreted now
you
is
gotta
this,
read.
Jeff.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only way you can do it now, forget the Miranda rights, that means nothing. This is what matters. Now it is upon you. As soon as the police approach you, you have to state this clearly and unambiguously. You have to say, I am standing on my Fifth Amendment rights to say silent, period. You have to say that at the very beginning. If you try to say that later, you don't have those rights. You have to answer the police. You have to.
Well, that'll almost guarantee you being arrested. You know how cops are. Are you a smart ass, are you?
Oh, yeah.
You're going
to
jail. So
sure.
I understand.
Sure.
What if you just don't say anything, if you remain mute?
No, you have to positively assert your right to remain silent. You have to do it at the first moment that you're approached by the police. So I've kind of looked into this. I've asked some law enforcement people that I know. And basically, you're screwed if you don't do that immediately. You lose your Fifth Amendment rights if you do not immediately assert them.
And the phraseology again is? What do you say?
If you stop talking to the police, you're guilty. The thing to say is you have to say, I'm going to assert my Fifth Amendment rights. I'm going to stand on my Fifth Amendment rights to remain silent. And then be silent after that, no matter what.
I see.
No matter what they ask you, you have to be silent.
Got it.
Man. So those should be the only words you speak. If they want to identify you, you can hand them your driver's license, but don't tell them your name. Don't tell them anything. because if after you assert your Fifth Amendment right, you say anything at all, you lose them. Okay.
Very interesting. Yeah. Well.
So it's a very stacked game against us people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Got it. All right. Well, I'm still of the opinion that the Israeli military on the ground has run up against, if not a brick wall, a very formidable opponent in Gaza. And they are not doing well at all. And I think that they've been stood down to a large degree. And they've gone back to aerial bombing and long-range tank artillery. So I don't think that the Israelis have a lot of confidence in their military, except to kill other Israelis on October 7th, when the Israeli military did a good job of that. They probably killed 500-600 Israelis out of the 1,100 total.
Well,
that's a fact.
Well, consider this also. Is why are they pulling troops out? They say for rest. Well, they're getting ready to reinforce the northern border.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, they have no intention of rooting out all the Hamas people in Gaza. They're going to bomb that place until everybody leaves. That's their goal. Just get everybody to leave.
Why don't
it's
we
a lie.
Be,
when they say they're going to root out Hamas, that's a lie.
No, it's been a lie from the beginning. Let's just say it correctly. Why say Israel? How about the U.S. and Israel, or we? It's because without us, Israel doesn't do anything there. They would have been out of armaments long ago. It's all us. We gave them the airplanes, no charge. We gave them the munitions. We're now disarmed to a large and substantial degree here. I mean, the joke is on us. Think about it. Bad joke.
And Biden is selling Israel weapons without congressional approval.
Oh, he's not selling. He's giving them away. They're never going to pay.
The Constitution doesn't mean anything.
They'll never pay for the weapons, Mitch. You know that. It's a joke.
Well, I know that, but sale is what they just say. Okay.
You know,
it's a euphemism for give.
Yep, it is.
I also saw these reports on the Red Sea, the Arabian Sea, and the Persian Gulf. All the naval assets there, and I'm talking about world assets there. They have a substantial presence, but they're ineffective. They can't really do anything. You know, I mean, keep this in mind. If the United States bombs Yemen, like they would need to do if they want to be effective, that will bring Iran into the war. So that's why we're not doing it. That's why we do these pinprick retaliation things in Iraq and Syria when they attack our bases. Well, listen, we have no rights to self-defense in Syria. Our troops have no international legal right to defend themselves because they are a foreign occupying power. Okay? So there is no right of self-defense. When we bomb those places, we're attacking a foreign nation without United Nations approval, is what we're doing. So this is your rules-based international order. The rules are what we make up as we go along. And they're capricious, they're arbitrary, and they're hypocritical. It's like Russia has to obey them, but we don't have to. Israel doesn't have to, you know. Listen, everything that's going on, Jeff, is actually, it's very simple and it's very clear, you know,
it's all corrupt, it's all evil, it's all satanic, period. Yep, I agree. I couldn't agree more.
There's no justification for anything that we're doing, nothing.
No, and we're not hearing anything to speak of out of the West Bank. There's three million about Palestinians there, and they are being really oppressed there. Not as bad as Gaza, of course.
Yes, they are. They're being beaten up, imprisoned. Killing them and running them off their farms.
Yes.
Just killing them and running them off their
farms.
And
when you hear the term, what Mitch is saying is, remember the term settlers? Those are the thugs that are basically behind a lot of the horrors in the West Bank now. Not the military.
Yeah.
Military is busy. They're just arming the settlers and looking the other way when they kill Palestinians. It's got to stop. I don't know how it's going to stop. I don't know how. I don't know where this is going to go in total, except into total conflagration. I don't see any other way.
Well, we're headed for the apocalypse, for Armageddon. It's very real now. It's very happening, you know. It's just that, we've never had this before, so we don't accept it, you know. It's like we just cannot fathom in our mind that things can get out of control. Now, listen, I can. I've been to third world countries where they've had revolutions, where they've had total anarchy and breakdown of the government, where one nation has invaded another, et cetera, et cetera. And I have seen a peaceful, calm, happy life go to a living hell overnight. Okay.
It's true.
It can come on suddenly and brutally.
I concur. All right, well, we'll see what happens. The U.S. effort to form a coalition in the Red Sea has failed miserably. So we'll see. I wonder when an American ship is going to be hit. That's probably going to happen pretty soon, Mitch. Probably pretty soon.
It's bound to happen. I mean, Iran's been perfecting their anti-ship missiles for a long time.
Right.
Okay, so it's just a matter of time, you know. And
right.
We always have the thing, if they can't get one through, it doesn't matter. What if they shoot 500 at the same time? Something's going to hit. It's just statistically.
I agree.
You know.
I agree.
Probable
right.
that
Excellent.
Something will hit something.
Good stuff. Very wise. Thank you, Mitch. Talk to you next week. You be careful out there now.
Okay.
All right, enjoy.
Okay, you too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks. Mitchell Henderson. And all of his programs go right up on his columnist section, so you can find them all there and listen in. Back tomorrow, Tuesday. Thanks for being here. Take care.